Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today, we're going to continue to talk about theological encounters as being the right way to read your Bible, specifically the narratives or the stories of the Bible. There are a lot of wrong ways, I think, that a lot of people read the stories of the Bible. We're so glad that people are reading the Bible, but you don't want to focus on the wrong things. That's like super important as you're developing your skills, flexing your muscles, growing in your Bible fitness, if you will, that you would read the Bible properly. And I guess it seems like a little bit of fine-tuning, but when you read the stories of the Bible, what are you focused on? What are you getting out of those stories? This applies to us as we just are doing our quiet times and our spiritual disciplines. It certainly applies to those who are preaching and teaching God's word, because if you read and focus on the wrong things, then you will also communicate those wrong things in your messages. And I'm afraid to say we've all experienced kind of bad examples of bad focuses. Is that foci? Anyway, focuses on in sermons. And we don't want to be those people. So I love to remind you that the ratings and reviews help us a lot. So please do that. And obviously, we love it when you pass on these episodes to people that you think could benefit from it. I mean, I think the best way to grow a podcast is by word of mouth. That is, if you have benefited from our times together, maybe there's somebody else you know who you think could benefit as well. If you kind of give them that personal reference, personal recommendation, or personal, passing a specific episode on, that can help us a lot. All right, let's talk about Peter walking on the water. That is in Matthew chapter 14. So if you want to just focus directly on the story, you could jump right into verse 28. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So that could be one problem right away. We're like, "Oh yeah, I want to focus on that story about Peter walking on the water." And you just jump right in. But there's a context and a flow even of this story. And it starts in verse 22. It doesn't start in verse 28 when Peter just says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." I mean, it starts with Jesus walking on the water, doesn't it? And so that's a really important point right away, that we need to start where the Bible starts. And of course, if you want to be really precise, you could say you should read the whole book of Matthew to get to this point. But certainly you should start where the story starts in verse 22. Immediately, he, that is Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he was dismissing the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And that's when Peter speaks up. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So we got to start where the story starts. That's really important. And you're even getting some background to Peter walking on the water in this thing. This is flowing right out of Jesus feeding the 5,000, probably more like 20,000. When you get down to it, it was 5,000 men plus the women and the children as they broke up into groups and he fed them and there was an abundance of food after that. So Jesus puts the disciples in the boat and sends them to the other side. That is the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And if you look on a map, the Sea of Galilee is really a lake, right? It's not actually an ocean or something like that. It's a big lake. And when you're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on a boat, you can actually look around and see the mountains or the high hills surrounding you on all sides. You can see kind of the whole thing from the lake itself. So it's not even that big of a lake, but it's called the Sea of Galilee in the Bible, and we're used to that. So they're getting in a boat. They're going to the other side. Many of these guys, the followers of Jesus, were seasoned fishermen. They had spent time on this lake their entire lives. They knew it very well. They also knew it's not going to take that long to get across the lake. However, on this specific night, when Jesus is dismissing the crowds, he goes on the mountain to pray. They were not making good progress. The wind was against them. The Bible, Matthew, uses the language personifying the waves as beating them. And they were very afraid. They were not making any progress. No doubt they were mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausted after they had experienced the feeding of the 5,000 and all that that meant. And here they're in the middle of the night, the fourth watch of the night. So it's almost morning, right? They've been working at getting across the lake the whole night. And then they see what appears to be a ghost. Turns out it's Jesus. And it says they were terrified and crying out in fear. So it's been a rough night for these guys. And then Peter makes his thing. Then he cries out and then he gets out of the boat and literally walks on the water. So what are some of the potential lessons? So you read this thing and you're thinking, oh yeah, Dr. Kratz always talks about not just being a hearer of God's word, but a doer of God's word. Like James 1 says, what should I do based on what I'm reading in this story of Peter walking on the water? Should I try to walk on the water? No, probably that's not the good application, but maybe I should trust Jesus in the storms of life. Ah, that sounds good. I think I've heard a sermon about that. Then that must be the best application. Or not taking my eyes off of Jesus. Ah, now we're really sounding extra spiritual as we see the example of Peter. He's looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water, coming to Jesus. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, how do you see the wind? But you understand what Matthew means there. He looked at the storms and the effects of the wind, the big waves, right? It says he was afraid and began to sink and cried out. So, okay, trust Jesus in the storms of life and you too will triumph and get to walk on the waves. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. This seems like it's right. Maybe we should just make Peter our big example. That's maybe what Matthew wants us to take away from this. Be like Peter, get out of the boat. Have you ever thought about what the other disciples were thinking? I mean, first of all, they're scared to death. They're exhausted. So who knows what they were thinking? It says that they were terrified when they saw Jesus because they thought he was a ghost. But then Jesus tells them who he is. He proves who he is as Peter gets out and walks on the water for however many steps to get toward Jesus. And so maybe they were thinking, I wonder if I could have walked on the water as well. So maybe the lesson is, be like Peter, get out of the boat. Don't be like those other disciples who just stayed in the boat, scaredy cats, right? But then we change and say, don't be like Peter and take your eyes off Jesus and start to sink and doubt Jesus in these times. I mean, come on, think about it. Jesus has got you to be walking on the water. You can certainly trust him no matter what. The wind and the storms, they've been going all night long. So don't panic now. I don't know. This doesn't seem right. Well, we have to take a break. So it's a good time to take a break. We'll have a reset. Let's come back and let's figure out how to do God's word as we read a story like Peter walking on the water.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment, who's teaching how to read the stories of the Bible the way they were meant to be read. And you know what? That same kind of careful, faithful handling of Scripture is exactly what you're going to find with every one of our fellows on the Fortis Plus app. Every integrated episode that Dr. Kratz has ever released lives right there on Fortis Plus. And he's also in good company because you're going to find Dr. Greg Gifford, who's working through biblical counseling, Dr. Adam Tyson speaking straight to Gen Z young men, Pastor Brad Bigney on marriage and family, Libby Glosson, who's talking to women on women's issues, Dr. Jason Lyle, who's making the case for creation and the reliability of Genesis, Todd Friel, who's talking all things happening currently in culture. You're going to find all of those gentlemen there, and something new is added every single day, so it never runs dry. The whole thing costs nothing to download and nothing to keep. And that last part is worth talking about a little bit more, because teaching of this quality is never free to produce. It takes people and time and resources to record it, to edit it, and to get it into your hands. And the reason it still reaches you at no charge is because of a group of ordinary Christian men and women just like you. These are people we call gospel partners. And each one of them has been impacted by something that they've heard here at one time or more than one time at Fortis Institute. And they wanted to make sure that more people in more places all over the world also have access to the content that we are creating. And maybe that's you. Maybe you have also been impacted by something you've heard here at Fortis Institute, and you also want to join us in our mission. Hey, look, here's the beauty of it. We want you to join us. We want to link arms with you. There are a couple of caveats. We do not want you to join us in this mission if you're not already giving to your local church. That is your first priority as a Christian, is to give to your local church. And if you're not doing that faithfully, then we want you to get that taken care of. And also, we don't want you to join us if it would become a burden on you and your family. Make sure you have a margin where you could join us. And if that's the case, if both of those areas of your life are taken care of and you do want to join us as a gospel partner, then we would be honored to link arms with you. We know you have questions about what it would look like in your life, and hopefully we have all of the answers you would ever need available to you at FortisInstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. It certainly is a privilege to be part of Fortis Institute, be one of the Fortis Fellows. One of the great benefits and blessings of serving with Fortis is getting to know some of the other Fortis Fellows as well. Had the privilege of having to have a little time with Dr. Greg Gifford as he preached and did a counseling conference at our church in Georgia here recently. Greg Gifford's podcast, Transformed, is great. And one of the things I had Greg do was kind of take some of the podcasts that he had done, specifically the ones he did about crunchy Christianity, and had him teach those as a Sunday school lesson when he stayed and taught and preached at our church. And he did such a great job. It was a real blessing to get to interact as he dug in to, in response to someone who had asked him a specific question about his podcast. So I would commend that to you, commend Greg to you and the Transformed podcast as a real encouragement and help as he weighs into various counseling issues and applies God's word. Well, I know, Greg, one of the assignments, one of the homework assignments that he would give in biblical counseling is that he would have his counselees start to read the Bible. And it's very important as we at Integrated talk about reading the Bible and learning theology to integrate what we're learning into our very lives. We don't want to just be people who read the word and have it roll off us like water off a duck's back, if you will. We want to be people who do God's word and apply it to our lives. Well, the Bible has lots of stories. Narrative is a key genre in the scripture, in the Old Testament, especially in the Gospels and the book of Acts. And so we want to be better Bible readers. And so when we read these stories, we have to see that these are actually theological encounters. And we are in Matthew chapter 14. We started by talking about the story of Peter walking on the water, but I've already given you some clues that this story isn't really about Peter walking on the water. And the main takeaway is not the example of Peter looking at Jesus and overcoming the storms of life by faith in Jesus, and don't look away from Jesus or you will sink too in your storms. I mean, certainly those are illustrations of truths we can find from other places. I'm not saying that they aren't legitimate illustrations. I'm just saying that's not the main thing, all right? The main thing is there's some big theology lessons. Who is the hero of this story? It is not Peter. I mean, you might say, well, he's a bold man and he's a man of faith. All right, that's true. That's not the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. What do we learn about God? And specifically here, the Son of God. We're trying to answer the question, who is Jesus? I mean, who is he who can walk on the water? It's a terrifying thing. This goes beyond any categories. The only category that the disciples could come up with as they were battered by the storm and looking around and just beaten to a pulp trying to get across the lake is the old ghost stories that they had heard growing up, right? This is a ghost. We don't have a human category for this because you're dealing, yes, with a full human, Jesus Christ, but you are dealing with the God-man who is also truly God. Only God can walk on the water. Only God is above nature. And so when he says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. That's the right response. Don't be afraid. You're not dealing with a ghost. You are dealing with the God-man himself. And so when Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water, he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. I want us to zero in on the word come. I mean, it's not Peter, the great man of faith who overcame the trials of life through his faith. No, it's Jesus who commanded a human, a regular human who had grown up on that lake his whole life. He was a seasoned fisherman to walk on the water. Nobody can do that. You can't do that. I mean, I'm sure Peter grew up playing with his friends and with his brother, Andrew, and being with James and John, and they probably as little kids thought, hey, I wonder if I ran really fast, if I could stay on top of the water. And of course, it doesn't take long to realize you will sink completely whenever you try that. I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And of course, we grew up going to the beach and playing in the waves and things like that. And I mean, you know, my brother and my dad, they really enjoyed surfing. I liked boogie boarding. I'm kind of supersized. And so me and surfing work okay, but not nearly as well as those guys. They were the real surfers in the family. But if you don't have a surfboard under your feet or a boogie board, you are not going to be on top of the water. You are going to be under the water or in the water. And that would certainly be the case with Peter as well, except that Jesus said to come. So Jesus demonstrates he isn't just a normal man. He isn't just a prophet. He isn't just a person with good intentions. He is the Son of God. Even the part about Peter in the story here is not really about Peter. It's also about Jesus. Jesus is the one who empowers him. Jesus is the one who saves him. So, yeah, you can say, don't look away from Jesus or you'll sink in the storms of life. That's one thing to pull from this story. But a better thing to pull from the story is that Jesus can save us when we doubt, right? It says that when he cried out, Lord, save me, in verse 30, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So let's not focus on Peter. Let's focus on Jesus, who has the power to make a human walk on water and has the power to physically save a doubting human who is sinking in the Sea of Galilee. But even more, it's about Jesus as he gets into the boat. Notice what happens in verse 32. I think this is one of the biggest overlooks in this whole story. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Did you catch that? You know the story of Jesus when he was asleep on the boat and they were crying out, Lord, save us. And he says, hush, be still. And the wind and the waves obey his voice. That's a different story. But this is yet another story, which had to be a big throwback for the disciples. They had to have remembered, oh, yeah, this is the one who said, hush, be still. And the wind ceased. He just gets in the boat this time and the wind ceased. And that might not seem like that big of a deal. Maybe it was just right place, right time. But you remember that these seasoned fishermen had been trying to get across the lake all night long, and they were beaten by the waves, and the wind was against them. They had been in an all-out battle against this storm, and Jesus gets into the boat, and the storm ceases. The storm stops in a moment, in an instant, when Jesus gets into the boat. And their response is in verse 33. And I think this is the theological takeaway. This is what you should do as you want to do this story in terms of application, integrating this truth into your life. Here's where you should follow the disciples' example. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This story is a theological encounter. This story is an encounter for those disciples to recognize more and more of who they're dealing with in their interactions with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Matthew, the inspired author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wants you and I to have a theological encounter with Jesus as we read this very story, to go, this same Jesus is the one we are dealing with as well. He is fully human, but fully God. Only he has the power over nature to walk on water. Only he has the power to command somebody to come to him on water. Only he has the power to save. Only he has the power to stop that storm in an instant by getting back into the boat. He is the one who we trust, who, when he died on the cross, it counted to pay the price for our sins, and God raised him from the dead. Truly, he is the Son of God. Will you join me in worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ?
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.